Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Shelter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to The Butterfly Moment. It's my favorite time of the week because, as I say every week, I've got the best job in the world. It occurred to me coming over here today that sounds a little bit self-aggrandizing. It's not meant to be. But I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said that, you know, we generally are about as happy as we decide to be. And a big part of my coaching class is that I feel a responsibility to my students, to my clients, to be the change that I seek in the world, to be the change that I see in them. And that if I'm going to suggest things, a way to live, tools to live, I've got to use them. And so I choose to look at my jobs as my play. Try it. It's really a lot more fun. Because most of the time in your life, you make up the rules. And whether you want to look at a glass of water half full or half empty, it's going to be completely up to you. So let's officially designate whatever we do in our work or profession as play, and that we are the luckiest people in the world. Got Dylan here as the producer. He loves his job. Got Carrie. She's doing photography again today, but she loves her job. She loves coming here. It's such an honor to be able to share my thoughts after 40 years of practicing law, school teaching, athletics, coaching, that type of thing. It's so wonderful to be a life coach with Carrie and to give people the tools to influence their lives, to live life to the fullest. This is a show about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's a show that believes in something we call the butterfly moment. That time a caterpillar leaves the cocoon and realizes that it's not disabled. It's not in a prison of darkness. That it's really free. And it's not only free, that in the fresh air of the universe, it is probably one of the most beautiful creatures that God has ever created. And best of all, it can fly. And so I'm really excited about our guest today, but I'll restrain myself. Before we get to our guests, I have the weekly question. What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? What dreams are you holding in your heart? As I explained before, God's gifts are kind of a Christmas present or a birthday present. How would you feel, or how do you feel, if the recipient never opens them, leaves them wrapped in the closet? So all God wants and all we want, all the universe wants, is you to explore and find those gifts and use them to save the world, serve the world. And that will be your contribution when your time is come. I'd like to acknowledge a couple of people today. It's been a very, very interesting and challenging week for me. First of all, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's mother, my brother-in-law's mother died, Rosalie Bieniek. She had been married to her husband, Tom, for some 66 years. She was in her late 80s. Tom is into his 90s. And she passed at the nursing home. But it was the most beautiful week weather-wise. It was the most beautiful experience at the funeral home, in the wake, in the mass. It was just a wonderful way to say goodbye. And I mention this because I have this belief that inside of every tragedy is a triumph, that inside of every adversity, there's a potential of beauty of the unleashing of the butterfly. And my brother-in-law, Don Bieniek, just gave such a stirring, wonderful eulogy. And there was so much fellowship and laughter at the hall afterwards when we got some food. So, folks, we've got a limited amount of time dancing on this planet. Let's find the tools to make the best of it. And this is what Carrie and I do. We're life coaches, and there's nothing more that I can imagine than to have you call and get your free session, 55 minutes devoted entirely to you. I don't give out advice, but I give and share tools that can allow you to make it this time and place the very best decisions for your life possible. And we can talk about the things in your life that you would like to have more passion, power, and purpose. We could talk about your own butterfly moment. So I would encourage you to go on Empower Radio's site. There's links there. You can get to our site, or you can call us directly at 586-997-HELP. That's 4357. That's 586-943-997-4357. And you can have your free conversation. And maybe next 6 months I'll be calling you as a guest so that you can show and share with the world what your demonstration is. Anyway, onward. Oh, I would also like your prayers and to acknowledge my brother had a serious heart attack this week. He's my older brother. He's going to be 70 in November. He's doing fine. He had a pacemaker put in. They did some microscopic surgery, no blockage, that type of thing. He was a guy that was my mentor. He was a guy that was sitting in the stands watching me play football when my father at that time was disabled. He was kind of like a virtual father, a big brother and a father at the same time. Anyway, send lots of love and healing to him. He was a great, great athlete. He was a legend. He's retired now at George P. Johnson at work. Putting together auto shows all over the country and all over the world. And he was a great, great inspiration to me. And again, I share with you this information so that you can think about who was your mentor, who was your brother, big sister that affected your life? And are you living that dream? Are you moving forward with what they saw in you? You know, they say in the Coast Guard, when they go out to save a sinking ship and everyone has abandoned it and are swimming, they swim, they save the sailors that are swimming towards your boat first. This begs the question. Are you swimming towards your goals, your good, or are you swimming away from them, or are you sinking? Make the decision now, whether it's picking up a book, talking to a friend, getting a mentor, or getting a life coach. Get on a program to open up those presents. Be all that you can be. And find that life that you want to be living, and find a future that when you say goodbye, that little dash between 19 something and 2000 and something can imply a life of fulfillment, can imply a life of exertion, as they call in sports, leaving it all on the field. Because none of us are getting out of this alive, and that's okay, because we have today. And today we have just a great, great lady, not only one of the most intelligent people that I've ever met, but has incredible courage. It reminds me, you know, I write screenplays for a living. One of my favorite movies, Erin Brockovich, and she's going to talk about how she's working on projects with Erin that are looking out for the little guy and looking out for the little gal and giving the tools, which are the most powerful tools today, information. Information that is hidden. Information that make all the difference in a person's life. Her name is Madrice Tomes, and she is the founder of a website, a company called Device Events that we're going to talk about. She had previously had work experience with the FDA and several consulting organizations. And within that experience, and I know that she's going to explain that even more, she realized that there was a gap between the knowledge of which medical devices or prescriptions or that type of thing, how they were working and how they may have caused wrongful deaths, injury, disability. I think you're probably getting the correlation between Erin Brockovich and Madrice. And so, Madrice, are you on the line?
I am.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for taking the time to be on our show. I mean, you're all over the country and all over the world with the information, and just with our several conversations over the phone, your career and your contributions in the reception of those contributions have basically exploded into this wonderful, wonderful thing that involves the federal government, that involves plaintiff's attorneys, that involves the medical profession, the pharmaceutical profession. Congratulations. Congratulations. But I want to back up a little bit, Madrice. Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your background. How did you get into this? Go ahead.
Certainly. I have a background in healthcare, but had really gone into the computer science side and was really trying to get a handle on all of the information that's out there on the market. And I'd worked, at Medicare and Medicaid, trying to identify, you know, physicians that perhaps weren't doing necessarily what they should be doing. And then I'd moved on to the FDA to learn about drugs and devices. And so it kind of came full circle for me when I worked at the FDA, I really got the view on how many harms are going on, and that the FDA truly is overwhelmed by the amount of data, and that sometimes when they do find it, I think it's gotten so bad at that point that they have a fear.
So did was
of
it,
making it transparent.
Sure. And if you could talk a little bit louder, I know that you want to make sure that, you know, we can all hear. And that your phone is, you know, working well. When you were a small child, did you envision yourself being kind of this, you know, leadership function and you know, kind of a rabble rousing with what you're coming up with? Or where did this come from? This desire for, you know, the truth.
You know, that's an interesting point. I moved around a lot growing up, and so I think that trying to make my mark everywhere I went could be overwhelming. But everything I learned in each place that I lived and with, you know, each group that I met, I definitely grew from that and had experiences. But, you know, as a small female, I'm 5 foot. You know, sometimes I don't feel that I'm taken seriously, especially in the IT world. And so to really start to get my bearings on what it is that I really know and you know, notice that, wow, people really do want to learn about this, but they didn't know to look to me. And so, you know, in high school, I had wanted a girls' soccer team. And I went out and joined the school paper and wrote a paper about, you know, I did a petition and I talked to all the teachers that might be interested in coaching, and didn't happen that year. But about 2 years later, when I was in college, I got a phone call from the academic director, and he said, "We have a soccer team." So that was a really big moment for me, even though it wasn't something that I really got to participate in the long run.
Well, you know, that the way you described it, it appears to me, and again, I always say there's many, many butterfly moments in our lives, that probably was a threshold moment for you that, wow, you know, I can make things happen. Like, I can make a difference. I can make a change, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So what are the dangers that you are alerting the public to with respect to the devices and the surgical devices that are inserted in our bodies and in the pharmaceutical industry? What are some of the things you're coming up with that the public should know about?
Some of the data that I'm finding, now remember, I'm an IT person. I have a healthcare background, but I see all of these numbers, and a lot of times they don't have context until I get to meet with patients who've been harmed by a device or a procedure. And when I get a chance to speak with them or even go on visits with them to Capitol Hill, I go to be the data person. You know, if they need some backup, they want to say, you know, the FDA does know about this problem, or the manufacturer does know. But along the way, I listen to the stories that, you know, that these women or these patients have had, and have had a real moment where I've realized that I'm not just about the numbers, that I can give context and I can help educate, first of all, the patients, you know, who may not know how many other people have similar issues.
Sure.
You know, a lot of problems that go wrong with medical devices, those are public or very private problems. You know, incontinence or impotence or, you know, loss of internal organs. And it's not something that people are willing to just come out and talk about on a regular day.
You know,
yes.
You know, there's a saying in the law, and I love doctors. You know, I'm so appreciative for what they do. And, you know, they are keeping my brother alive right now, and they are bringing him back to health. So no one loves the medical profession for me. But there has been, as a practicing personal injury law for such a long time, there's a saying that the medical profession or the medical industry buries their mistakes, because if someone is gone, deceased, you know, there's at least one more witness that is gone. Have you found that things are mysteriously getting buried or lost?
I definitely have.
Okay.
I had When I worked at the FDA, one of the things that the analysts who read all the reports that come in from patients and doctors would tell me about was that, you know, sometimes these reports come in and they're talking about a death that occurred, but they've only said that this is an injury report or a device malfunction report. It's not identified really as a death. And so when I left the FDA, I took that to heart and said, okay, well, how can we find these and identify the devices that maybe are harming people, or even just identify, you know, patterns where if you use a device and a drug together, that maybe the outcomes are not so good. And you shouldn't have to wait to see what's in an electronic health record or in a claim, because you have malfunctions of devices that get reported, and that can identify things way before people get hurt.
Sure.
But if they're not reported, or if they're not understood and the importance of them isn't understood, then that data just won't be there.
Sure. Now, you are actually getting the attention of both state and federal government, correct? And including
yes.
FDA.
Yes.
How is that? What are you doing? Are you getting invited to the White House? Are you getting invited to certain projects?
Not the White House yet. that would be interesting. I have been working with several senators and Representative Mike Fitzpatrick, who has been working with the women harmed by an eSure device. Mm. And I've been working with them to identify not only reports that might help these women get a chance to have their day in court, but also, you know, have identified other problems with, you know, duodenoscopes that were identified by the Senate back in January, but that was just one type of scope. And you have these super bug outbreaks. It's not just in the scopes. It's in heater cooler devices. Those are used for open heart transplants. And then you also have to think about, well, I have three or four devices at this hospital that are killing people, but they're in different areas of the hospital. You know, they're in general surgery or cardiovascular. And so what is the pattern? And the FDA isn't set up to find that sort of thing. They have their cardiovascular specialists. They have their GI specialists, their internal medicine. And so when you see something widespread like this, you know, you want to dig. And when I started digging and I found that these bacteria that require very long-term care, so it's 18 months with an IV twice a day.
Wow.
So it's not just a round of Cipro. When these people get infected, it affects their lives. Mm. And it's looking to be that it's a combination of medical devices and the water source.
Now,
so this is, of course, where Aaron would come in.
Yeah. I know in our previous conversation, you had mentioned that Aaron Brockovich, you were working with her on some projects. She has been blowing the proverbial horn about Flint for several years, correct?
She has, yes.
And what, tell us about the project.
Okay. Really, the way that I met Erin was around the eSure device, because she had been doing some advocacy for the women harmed by it. And she reached out to me, and it was a point where I was very afraid of the data that I'd found. It didn't seem to be public, even though it's all public data. And so she came to my house and met with me, and we looked at it together, and she really gave me a lot of strength to show that, you know, what I have is something real. This is a big problem. And that if I didn't speak out, you know, women are getting harmed by the device every day and can't get the help they need. And so, you know, she gave me a pep talk, but it was also a bit of a, you know, you can't sit on this because you're afraid.
Yeah.
And that helped for sure.
I want to make sure that the audience knows how to get a hold of you. And I assume that if they went on your website, Device Events, just like it sounds, D-E-V-I-C-E-E-V-E-N-T-S.com, correct?
Yes, yes.
That they could, if need be, get a hold of you and, you know, see what you're about. And we obviously, in a short amount of time, we've only been able to, you know, get to the surface waters of this. And you have so much more that you could talk about. So you're not adverse to some people calling you up or introducing projects to you, correct?
Oh, not at all. I welcome them because I learn from everybody that I meet that just when I think I know something and I understand it, that there's a lot more that I need to learn.
Well, there's a lot more that we'd like to talk about. You know, this is kind of a signal, and it seems like the best interviews just go so, so fast. And I just, will you promise you'll come on again sometime?
Oh, absolutely, yes, I do.
And I want to thank you as an attorney for what you do and what you're doing and finding the truth. And God bless you for the work, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. And if any of you have any ideas about a show or questions that you may ask, go on empowerradio.com and look us up, and we'd love to talk to you. Thank you, and God bless.